Hello, everyone, and welcome to Super Metal World. This is Michael.
And this is Ty.
This week, we have a bonus episode, a bonus interview episode with you, featuring Efrain Ramirez, I think best known for his role as Pedro Sanchez in the cult classic Napoleon Dynamite. They will be Napoleon Dynamite actors. Efrain Ramirez and John Heder are going across a national tour at various film festivals discussing with fans the 15-year-old movie.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's been that long. I think this was our first like legitimate actor that we've interviewed.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right.
I mean, besides ourselves, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But Efrain was a joy to talk to. And you never know what you're going to get going into an interview. And they always tell you never to meet your heroes. But Efrain killed it. He was awesome to talk to. I thought he was very down to earth.
Yeah, we learned a lot about... I feel like I got a lot of glimpses into the inner workings of life as an actor in the what was a fairly short amount of time that we talked to him.
Yeah, it's probably like a... I mean, this is why we released this as a bonus episode, because it's like a 20-minute interview, and we're not going to blab too much because we want you guys to get to that and listen to it. Before we talk a little bit about Napoleon Dynamite, I just wanted to thank everybody who newly has been liking our page on Facebook, and I hope that that's translating into listening to the podcast as well. So if you're new to this, thanks for the support.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, hope you guys enjoy what you've signed yourself up for. But yeah, Napoleon Dynamite. Let's talk about Napoleon Dynamite. That was kind of one of those like quintessential movies growing up. You know what I mean? Like, what were we like in junior high or high school or something like that when that came out?
Yeah, I'm thinking in 2004, I would have been like 12 or 13. No, definitely, yeah, sure. Definitely 12 for sure. So I was young, but like so much. That was one of the first comedy movies for me that I remember like understanding, I guess, and really enjoying.
And spoiler alert, Michael and I grew up together, went to the same high school, pretty much known each other since at least the third or fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, that was the first, like, one of the first that I remember that was, like, of our era as being, like, a cult classic movie. Because all the other, like, you and I were into, like, Will Smith and Chris Farley and Adam Sandler. A lot of this was through your dad showing us, like, his SNL greatest hits stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of our comedy was like almost like past its prime, or like kind of Will Ferrell wasn't past his prime.
No, that's definitely another one that like the golden era of Will Ferrell, I guess, was definitely in our time.
Yeah. We got to experience that. Thank God. I know Will Ferrell's a love him or hate him, but of course we love him. But anyway, we got this gem, which was Napoleon Dynamite. And the thing that made it so special is because it has that cult classic feel. Like, it just came out of left field. It was such a different movie. And, all the characters in that movie are so unique. And it's so funny in, like, a real, and I don't want to say cringy. It's a real comedy. You know, it feels real.
It's okay. I think it's totally legitimate and totally okay to say cringy, right? Like, the character Napoleon Dynamite is the embodiment of high school nerd cringe.
That's true. Cause you know, they're going through, I don't know. I don't remember how old like Pedro and Napoleon are in this movie. I'd assume they're in high school at least, at the very least. Cause there's a prom, right?
Yeah. I think like 16, 17,
but it just takes you back and, takes you back to that time period. And, there's just so many things I remember. Like, of course, his epic dance, you know, mm-hmm. that he's like prepping for, Uncle Rico saying that he's going to throw the football over the mountains. I'm going to throw the football. I don't remember the exact quote.
How much you want to bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
Yeah. Uncle Rico. Cause like we've all had an Uncle Rico, Tina, the llama, you fat lard. Vote for Pedro. I mean, it's just like there's so many things about that movie that are iconic. And that's one of the things that Efren will talk about is how awesome the turnout has been. And I think it's because it is like, you know, the Big Lebowski or, you know, pick a cult film where it has this following and it meant a lot to people at the time when it came out.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. Like, if I think about, I don't know how you feel about this, but when I think about like cult films, especially cult comedies, like this is always like Big Lebowski, Napoleon Dynamite. Those two always come to mind. And yeah, it's just really special. It's just a special movie, and there's no, it's no surprise that it has continued to 15 years later have the success it has.
And I haven't watched it in a while. I should really go and rewatch it. And you guys should do the same. If you haven't seen it, definitely give it a try, especially if you're a fan of comedy. Like, it's a very unique and different comedy, and I don't think there's ever been a comedy like it since. It's just very much its own thing. It's its own genre of comedy for sure. So that being said, guys, we don't want to take up too much of your time. So remember that we have a website, www.supermetalworld.com. You can check out all our other content up there. Last week, we had a podcast featuring five really cringy, speaking of cringy things, five really cringy metal songs that Michael found and had me listen to, and I reacted to it. And we recently cracked open some lore about Fallout in some previous episodes, about Super Mutants and about New Vegas. And there's a ton of other content up there, so go check that out. We are available anywhere that you can stream a podcast. Just search Super Metal World on iTunes, rate and review, give us 5 stars, write a review. It really means a lot. It drives a lot of what iTunes drives what makes a podcast successful. So if you could please do that for us and share it with a friend, that would mean a lot to us. Supermetalworld@gmail.com is our email. Hit us up if you got questions, concerns, recommendations. You can follow us on all social media. Just search Super Metal World and like or follow us or whatever. That being said, enjoy our interview with Efren Ramirez. Horns high.
Horns high. We're here with Efren Ramirez. Efren is taking part in Napoleon Dynamite, a conversation with John Heder and Efren Ramirez. He'll be a panel member discussing and looking back at the cult classic Napoleon Dynamite. Efren, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up? I think it's... Nope. Okay. I still got that chicken stuck in my throat somewhere. Because I know it's there. You can feel it. It's like, when you have an eyelash in your eyeball. And you look at yourself in the mirror and it's still floating around. That's what I feel about this piece of chicken in me.
Somebody's got to give you the Heimlich over there.
That'd be nice.
Maybe you have John. John can give you the Heimlich.
He'd be like, hey, Pedro, so let me help you out, bro.
There you go.
I love doing his voice all the time. It's so funny.
Why don't you tell us a bit about the tour that you guys are going on?
Well, we got asked to do this tour, I think the end of last year. And I thought that'd be a great idea and be a part of it. And I go, okay, cool. So I just didn't know that how well received it was going to be. I mean, the fact that it's been 15 years and for 15 years, they're still die hard, hardcore fans. You've gone to so many almost sold out shows where you see people who are now parents, where their children who are about 7 to 10 years old and they're dressed up as Pedro or Napoleon or Deb or Uncle Rico. And I'm like, this is one of the coolest things that's ever happened in my life. Just to witness that, so it's really been an awesome experience. I'm just lucky to be a part of it.
So is it, so you've done a couple of days already, right? Or a couple of, I guess, events. Is that correct at this point?
Yeah, that's correct.
So what, why don't you describe a little bit about what the experience has been like? Is it just you and John up on stage, just answering like fan questions, or what's going on with that?
It varies, you know, it all depends on, everybody's schedule. Due to the fact that, you know, after Napoleon Dynamite, our careers completely changed. We became celebrities overnight, and I come from the theater, you know, and I travel, I do plays, and I disappear and learn my lines for another play. But after Napoleon Dynamite, everything changed. So, and I didn't know, you know, what it would take me. And the fact that because we are all working as actors, it is very difficult to get all of us united together in one place, in one building. So when I got asked to participate, with the 15 year anniversary tour of Napoleon Dynamite, sometimes I'll do it with either John Heater or John Grice, or sometimes Tina Majorian joins us. And I believe we're going to be doing it with some other cast members as well. To us, the fact what they do is they screen the movie, and after screening the movie, we do a Q&A. And there's something called the VIP, where people, I think, before the movie starts, you know, we take pictures and meet. It's a meet and greet, and you can see like hundreds of people who are just waiting in line, dressed up as the characters of Napoleon Dynamite, just so that, you know, they could spend time, we could talk to them and get to know them and sign some T-shirts and all that. And it's like, to this day, the fact that people are wearing a Vote for Pedro T-shirts, or have the little action dolls of Pedro, or the big action figures, it's pretty awesome. And everybody goes bananas, you know. It's like, you know, normally we'd stay for about a half hour or 45 minutes doing the Q&A, but sometimes that run looks long too, because we're all too busy cracking up and seeing so many jokes about making the movie. Everybody's too busy laughing.
So what were your initial expectations for, you know, 15 years ago, you're working as part of the Napoleon Dynamite crew. While this was happening, what were your expectations on, like, the final results for the movie? Certainly you weren't expecting the success that it had, were you?
No. It's Jared Hess, who directed the picture, wrote it with his wife, and he and a few of the cast members and behind the crew, they come from BYU. They were going to film school, and they're studying to make short films and feature length films. By the time I was working on a Disney show called Even Steven, and so when I ended up getting the role, getting the part as Pedro, I just thought it was a character choice as a lead character, and maybe I could put that on my reel as an actor to say, look what I can do as well. You know, I never thought about like what to the extent of what it has come to be now, because you never really think that way. You know, you just hope that you could put a movie together where it has heart. It's a movie that people can the families can sit together and watch and enjoy. It's funny. It's a little odd, you know. And you know, I thought, okay, it's a challenge for me as an actor. So you know, when it entered the film festival, it blew everybody's mind. We were just excited that this could maybe become something that's out of our imaginations.
Were you ever sorry, Michael, just got to jump in. I just thought of something here. Were you ever, of course, you respect that role for all it's done for you. Were you ever afraid that now for the rest of your life, you were going to be just typecast as that Pedro character in future roles?
No, actually, there's several parts to this. there's the business and then there's the audience. You know, in between working in films, I go to high schools and hospitals and colleges, and I talk to students. So when I go to colleges and I talk about theater history and film history, they go, wow, he's well-read. He's a scholar. He's theatrically trained. But, you know, if I go to high schools or junior high and elementary and they see Pedro and they see me, of course I'm going to go, hey, hello, how are you guys? They go bananas. The fact that they could really meet me and, like, and they go, hey, I'm just like you. I went to school, do your homework, eat your vegetables, and dream big and go after that. In regards to the business itself, you do your job. And I could let the studios know, I could play a role like this, but I'm also an actor. Give me something completely different, and I'll show you I can do that too. Some roles are easier to play than others. You know, after Napoleon Dynamite, I did a film called Crank, where I play a transvestite. And it was at Jason Statham. It was something completely different. I remember having to tell my agent, all right, now that I've done this role, give me something completely different. Because there were offers of roles that were quite like Pedro, and I thought, well, I could do that, but I didn't train for that. I wanted something more. So now the studios know me to play all these different characters. And I'm doing a TV show right now with Sir Ben Kingsley, and the character I'm playing is so intense. But, you know, it's, I'm just, like I said, I'm an actor, and I'm so lucky that I'm able to challenge myself. Throughout, you know, 30 years after Napoleon Dynamite, I got a chance to really meet some of the greatest actors, to Anthony Hopkins, Jack Nicholson, Daniel Day-Lewis, Steve Buscemi, Edward James Olmos, and they gave me some great advice about acting in business. And to me, when somebody says no, I'm going to try and play something completely different. I'm going to do my best to live a different life as an actor. If the character has a story to tell and the story is so compelling, how do I not challenge myself to something like that? So yeah, you know, bring it on. I'll take it.
You mentioned that you're well-read and kind of a scholar of theater and everything like that.
Yeah.
Before Napoleon Dynamite, what was your career like? What was your acting career like? Were you, did you have a side job that you were doing at the same time?
Yeah. I had, I was studying the Meisner technique, which is a technique of acting, you know. I had come up doing improv and Commedia dell'arte, which is the Italian study of theater, part of the Kabuki theater, just a little different. You know, in Los Angeles, which is where I grew up, you know, there you have different schools that teach you different techniques. And techniques are there just to teach you to get to the moment faster, to really break down material. That's your job as an actor. And I remember having to do a play called Out of Gas on Lover's Leap, you know, and I thought, well, okay, maybe this is the direction I want to go. Because I really liked acting, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't understand it as a profession. So, and when I paid my acting school, I was doing two things. One, I was working as a waiter, and I moved up from waiter to being a bartender in LA. And I used to put raves together with my friends. You know, I was much more into the techno electronic scene, the EDM scene, and my friends and I would do parties in Los Angeles. And that would pay for my schooling and my books and everything. Just so I could make it through. Funny, I would throw parties, and while I'm DJing, there I am with my play next to me, memorizing my lines. So hoping that I don't mess up either scratching or memorizing. But you work hard and you struggle. And sometimes you would go to auditions and you would do a great job and then nothing would happen. Sometimes you'd be horrible and then nothing would happen. And you would have wondered, like, hey, now what? The things that I can control, which is the acting, the business, I have no control over. You know, that's out of my hand. So, you know, as I got older, I started to really get guest starring roles, commercials. I started to do a lot more plays. And it was only when I did Napoleon Dynamite that completely, really altered my career and how I choose to do projects in business.
Yeah, and, you know, I think people would look at that and be like, well, you're an overnight success. but you've been grinding for, you know, a long time.
Yeah. You know, hey man, the Oscars just passed, and do you remember exactly what Lady Gaga said? And she says, you know, it's like you got to keep going. You know, you really dignity, no to you. You need a lot of doors shut in your face because your hair's too short. Your hair's too long. You got a mustache. You don't have a mustache. You know, you got sweet skills. You know, you got to get up and train and do the work. I mean, to this day, with TV shows that I'm working on now, we've seen the greatest actors who have won Oscars and Emmys and getting great advice from them. I, to my point, I'm still learning. There's so much more that I can learn as an actor, as an artist, you know, and to really connect to an audience where they get to really enjoy the stories I can tell. That's cool.
Now, do you got anything coming down the pike? Do you got anything? What are you currently? I know you're doing this kind of this tour right now, but yeah. What's the future look like?
I have a film that just came out on iTunes. It's called Varsity Punk. It's about cross country comedy, about cross country high school students trying to get through the day and become number one. But I'm working on a TV series. What can I tell you without getting in trouble? it's with Sir Ben Kingsley and Jackie Weaver and Jimmy Simpson. And it's called Our Lady. And that's the only thing I can tell you guys. It's a very heavy drama. The character I play is pretty intense. Yeah.
And, to the people the fans of Napoleon Dynamite, well, first off, I was going to say, what do you have to say to them, or what would be your message to them? And what do you think is the legacy of Napoleon Dynamite, or what has that legacy grown into as the years have gone on?
I think with Napoleon Dynamite, it's a film about people, real people with their imperfections and their quirks, where a character like Peter Sanchez gets to Preston, Idaho, and in his oddity, he becomes friends with Napoleon, who's odd himself, and in this friendship they help each other's dreams come true. And I think we can all relate. This is a movie that families can sit together, watch, and enjoy. This is a movie where we can identify with each character, because we used to be Pedro, we used to be Napoleon, we used to be Uncle Rico, we used to be Deb, we used to be La Fonda. You know, all of us want to fight in the cage fight, right? Like Kip.
Yeah.
Right? So it's grown so many years because it is timeless. You know, as people keep wondering, when did that take place? We just say now. You know, there's as quick as social media has grown, as people who look for me on Instagram or Twitter, and they have a lot of questions still about the playing Dynamite, I'm like, you know, I'm more than glad to answer them. And the fact that there's so many fans to this day, they love because it's funny and it's something that's real without these special effects and the big explosions and all that. We love the story.
How has the relationship been with you and John over the years? Do you guys keep in touch? Or is this the first time you've seen each other in a while?
No. John actually lives about 20 minutes away from me. So, okay. You know, and one of the things I told John, I live in his house, and he's been in mine. I told him, if ever I go to the supermarket and you're there, I am leaving. You know, because I will tell you, I mean, as he's done the tour, there are moments when, because we get so excited about having to explore the town and the state that we're in. We go out and explore, and when we do that, people go bananas having to see us two together. I'll tell you this: we had done a movie called "When in Rome," and we shot that in New York City. And when we're in Manhattan, people were watching John Heder and I walking around in New York, and they're like, "Wait, what are they doing in New York?" it was so funny. Yeah, because we forget. I'm like, oh, that's right. There's going to be a result to this. But I myself, besides having to go and do the tour, I really enjoy spending time with people, because a lot of people who are not in the industry, but they talk about their everyday lives, their real lives. You know, what they think about the nation, what they think about the world, life values. You know, I as an artist, it's important. People matter. People, you know, there's value to life. Because at some point I'll be 90 years old and I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. You know, I'll be with my grandkids and all that. So why not now?
What do you think about going to these places like, maybe you've already been to them. I don't know. But Utah or like Fargo, North Dakota, Kansas City. Yeah. Have you been to those places before?
Well, I've been to, in between working in film, besides having to speak at colleges and high schools, I DJ all over the world. You know, I've been DJing, you know, before Napoleon Dynamite. So I've been to many places. I will tell you, I've never been to Fargo, so I'm excited. One, because I am a film buff, and I do love William H. Macy and Friends.
Yeah.
I love him so much in the movie Fargo. Come on. You know, so I'm excited to find some spots around there. Maybe find a car with ice on the windshield and scrape it like William H. Macy.
Yeah, there you go.
You'll find that.
Just go to the spot, yeah. I've never been there, so I'm excited to spend some time walking the streets of Fargo.
Excellent. Efren, is there anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
I'm excited. You know, I want to make myself a snowman, a snow angel, and spend time with everybody. And I know we're really pressed for time because we're constantly traveling and on the go. And I'm always back in the hotel, we're memorizing lines for a new project. So, but I'm hoping that, you know, maybe I'll find one of the great bars over there and have a good drink with everybody at Fargo.
I'm sure they'll love to have you. So, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for being a part of our podcast here, and we wish you the best on tour and all your future endeavors. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
Again, we'd like to thank Efren for joining us and talking about the history and legacy of Napoleon Dynamite, along with the tour that him and John Heater are on right now. The event is taking place in theaters and film festivals across the entire country, so be sure to check it out, see if it's visiting your local area, and go say what's up. I know they have like meet and greet passes and that sort of thing, so you can actually get like a personal interaction with those two guys, which is really cool. So thank you again to Efren for joining us.
Yeah, and again, go to iTunes, rate and review us, please. Share it with a friend. Spread it around. Write a nice review. Give us a 5-star rating. Find us on all social media. We have a website, www.supermetalworld.com. That was a dramatic
pause for effect.
Dramatic pause, a.k.a. I had to burp and I was holding it in. As always, guys, horns high.
Horns high.